PowerPoint. I hope we have PowerPoint. We have live stream tonight. Not a technical issue, it was a human factor on the PowerPoint. I know it's live. We done checked it before services. But needless to say, it is up and running. You know, we've been studying on Wednesday night from the book of Exodus and Leviticus here recently, and how they just completed the tabernacle. And when we talk about the tabernacle and God's plan for the tabernacle, we talked about the pattern that God gave Moses in the design and the construction of this tabernacle, that he had a pattern. Well, the pattern is not that God has is not just for that tabernacle, but it's for everything that we do in serving God. And it doesn't matter what part of your life, there is a pattern that you have in every aspect of your life. It may be building a house or just building a mini barn. You follow a pattern. You ladies follow a pattern when, I don't know how many of you make your dresses anymore, but used to, you'd go buy a pattern to make a dress. You follow a pattern when you cook a meal. You follow a recipe. And even if it's not a written recipe, it may be your mother's recipe. You know, there's the old story about the woman that cooked a ham and she cut the end off the ham and put it back in the refrigerator. And her husband asked her, well, why do you do that? Well, that's because it's the way my mama did it. So they go talk to mama, why did you always cut the end off your ham? Well, that's the way my mama did it. They go to granny and they say, well, why'd you cut the end off your ham? My pan was too short. There's a reason for why we do things, but sometimes it's traditional. But we need to understand that God has a plan, a pattern for us to follow. And sometimes we need to be thankful that patterns are followed. Brother Danny used to be a pharmacist, still keeps up his license. But don't you think that people ought to appreciate the fact that they followed a pattern, the chemical pattern for the medicine that you receive? And there's other patterns that we have to follow. God gave the pattern for the tabernacle, down to the very details of how the gold was to be tamped out and laid on the articles of furniture. And there's other things. Each side has a pattern that we have to follow. It's called God's Word. So we have a pattern that we have to follow. It's instituted by God. And patterns can be sometimes a matter of life and death. You take, for example, if you're flying, you want those guys up in that control tower to know what they're doing and guiding their planes in at the proper time, at the proper levels. You don't want them overlapping each other and landing on the same runway at the same time. That wouldn't be good. You know, you can go to the internet and Google air traffic and you'll find how many airplanes are in the air over the United States at any given minute. And it's astronomical how many flights. And we need to be thankful that there are people that sit in these air control towers and watch and make sure that the patterns are being followed. But this word pattern, if you think about it, it comes from a Greek word, tupos, if I can pronounce it right. And it means, from the Greek lexicon, an archetype serving as a model, a type, pattern, model, technically a design or pattern. And it primarily denotes a blow, that is like putting, like the old printing press, you put something down and you hit it to make an impression on it. And that's what we have here. It's from the word, root word, tup, which we see in the Greek word. And it also means to strike. It's an impression, the mark of a blow, according to Vines. And it means, it goes back to the old printing press days, like I said. But God has given patterns for individuals and the church. And these patterns dictate whether we make it to heaven or not. It dictates our eternal life and death situation. And we are blessed when we follow those patterns. And we're in sin when we don't follow those patterns. It is a matter of eternal life and death. So I want to talk to you tonight about following the patterns. Patterns that God has given us to follow. The Old Testament will begin there We understand that it had God-revealed patterns that existed, and they are of great value even to us today. Paul would write in 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 11, "Now all these things happened to them as examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages have come." He's basically telling us we need to look back and see the pattern that God gave for his children, and then learn how it pleased God when they followed that pattern, and it displeased God when they didn't follow that pattern. So the lesson I learned from that is I need to follow God's pattern today in order to be pleasing in his sight. And when I don't, I'm in sin. We talk about the tabernacle. It was built according to an exacting pattern. You'll remember from our study in Exodus how Moses went up on the mountain at Sinai, and God gave him exquisite details about how this tabernacle, this tent meeting house, was to be designed, and not just designed, but even in its construction, how it was to be put together. And he gave two men, artisans, the knowledge that they needed to oversee and to guide other men to build this house that God exacted. We see that in Exodus 25. Adam also was used as a type or a pattern of the Christ that was to come. We read in Romans chapter 5 and verse 14 where Paul says, "Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who had not sinned according to the likeness of the transgression of Adam, who is a type of him who was to come," referring to Christ. So the Old Testament shows us that there were patterns that they had to follow then, and even some of those patterns we follow today because they're examples of how we need to serve God. The rest of the time we're going to spend tonight is going to be talking about how God reveals patterns for us today. And we are simply going to focus on the New Testament of Christ. Paul says in 2 Timothy 1 and verse 13 to the young preacher Timothy, "Hold fast the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me in faith and love which are in Christ Jesus." Notice the first statement there, the first thing that he says in verse 13 is, "Hold fast the pattern of sound words that you've heard from me." Hold fast. Hold on to it like it's the most valuable thing that you've ever had. Hold on to it like it's someone that's slipping out of your grasp and you're afraid you're going to lose their life. Hold on to it like it's a child that you're guiding through a heavily populated area. Hold on to them because you're afraid that you could lose them. Paul says, "Hold fast to the word that you have heard from me, the words of Jesus Christ. Hold fast." Jesus tells us in his great commission in Mark chapter 28, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations." And he gave a pattern, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to what? "Observe all things that I have commanded you." Observe all things. What things, Christ? The pattern that I have laid down. The pattern that I have given to you. The pattern that came from the mind of God. Remember what Paul told Timothy? Hold fast to that pattern. Hold fast. Grasp it like you're afraid you might lose it. You know, we talked in Bible class this morning that there are some in the church today that basically have a relaxed attitude when it comes to the Lord, when it comes to his word. We were studying in Mark chapter 8 where Jesus marveled at his disciples and he asked them down about verse 21, and I'll paraphrase, "Why don't you get it yet? Why haven't you understood yet who I am and what I'm here for?" They hadn't grasped it yet, and it was all still new to them. And he had just warned them about the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. And we compared that to our time. The leaven in our time is the world, and how just a little bit of influence can pull us away. In other words, make us lose that holding fast grasp. And we need to follow the New Testament of Jesus Christ because it is the pattern. The apostles were an example for us, or pattern, in other words, with their lives. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 1, "Imitate me just as I also imitate Christ. He was an imitator of Jesus Christ, and therefore we need to be an imitator of Jesus Christ. Paul says, follow my example, my pattern that I've lived in my life. And we see the other apostles giving us the same example, the same message in Philippians 3, and Paul again in 2 Thessalonians 3. But God has given us a pattern when it comes to salvation as well. We've already noticed Matthew's account of the Great Commission in Matthew 28, but Paul talks about this pattern throughout his epistles. He would talk in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16 about how we need to believe in Jesus Christ. That's part of the pattern. You have to hear what His Word says and then believe what He says. You go back throughout the beginning of the Gospels, through the epistles, starting with the book of Acts, which is basically the history book of the New Testament. And in the very second chapter there, after that first sermon was preached, the response was, what must we do? They heard and they believed what Peter and the others said that day. They believed that something needed to be done, and they were told to repent of their sins. Paul would make the same statement in Romans 2 and verse 4, that we need to repent of our sins and confess our faith in Christ as being Lord. Again, Paul would make that statement in Romans 10, verses 9 and 10. And then in chapter 6 of Romans, Paul would talk about baptism. And in verses 3 and 4, he tells us that there's a need for us to be baptized into Christ. And the reason for that is His death, burial, and resurrection is a model for us to follow in our baptism. Saved from sin in Christ, where there's no condemnation. And then Paul would tell us in Romans 6 and verse 1 that we need to be faithful to Christ. The verse that most of us like to focus on a lot of times is Romans 2, Revelation 2 and verse 10. Be thou faithful unto death, and you'll receive the crown of righteousness. Be faithful as long as you live upon this earth. I get it, that's tough to do sometimes. But if we're holding fast to the word, the pattern that's been given to us, it will be easier. Hold fast to that pattern and be faithful. Paul again would allude to this in Romans 12, verses 1 and 2, where he tells us there that we're not to be transformed to this world, but not to be conformed to this world, but be transformed, be different. And he would go on to tell us in verse 2 that that is our reasonable service or our reasonable sacrifice. The reasonable part of that is that we're going to make the decision to be different from everybody else in the world because we're following the pattern that God has given us. Be faithful to Christ. And then we look at Paul's conversion. His conversion is a pattern. It's the Greek word tupos for the lost. We look at that in 1 Timothy 1 where he talked to young Timothy and he says in verse 15, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. However, for this reason I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show all long-suffering as a pattern to those who are going to believe on Him for everlasting life. Have you ever studied with someone that says, there's no way Christ will accept me because of my life? There's no way. There's no way that He would forgive me because of the life that I have lived. Paul says, look at his life as a pattern, as an example. And he said that he was forgiven. He says, I am the chief of sinners. And Christ forgave him. He says, I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show all long-suffering. Jesus was patient with him. And he showered him with his mercies, even though Paul himself considered himself to be the worst of people. Reflect back on what Paul had done in his past life leading up to this statement. Before his own conversion, you remember that he had received letters from the Sanhedrin and was on his way to Damascus. In Acts chapter 7, he held the coats of those that were stoning Stephen. In Acts chapter 8 and verse 1, he was breathing threats and slanders upon the church, and the church scattered, went abroad. And he was receiving letters from the religious leaders of the day, not only to put those of the way in prison, but to have them killed. And now he's one of the most prominent of the apostles. And he says, I know what kind of life I've lived. Don't tell me that Christ won't accept you. Don't tell me that Christ will not forgive you. Because he said he forgave Paul. And Paul understood that. I need to understand that too. That Christ will forgive me. But God also reveals in the New Testament patterns for us, not only for the New Testament of Christ, apostolic examples and salvation patterns, but moral and ethical patterns as well. Paul would write to the young preacher Titus in chapter 2 and talk about sound doctrine, that there needs to be sound doctrine taught. When he met with the Ephesian elders at Miletus on his way back to Jerusalem, he told them that he had stayed with them for about 3 years and he hadn't failed to teach them anything, but he warned them. He warned those elders that from their very midst, from within their own group, there would come grievous wolves. From within their own camp, there would be moral and ethical and doctrinal issues that they would have to contend with. We all have to contend with those things, even today. And yet God reveals a pattern for us on how to deal with these things. Without a God-revealed pattern, there are no absolutes. Used to in the 80s, you had, and the thought just left me, moral ethics where you do what was best for the situation. And that's what you're going to find people trying to do when there are no absolutes. When you don't have God's word to guide you, then you're just going to do whatever is best for that situation. It may be lying, it may be stealing, it may be murder. Whatever the case may prove to you is the best pattern for you to follow. But we have a pattern. We have God's word. God revealed a pattern where there are absolutes, and each person decides. But without God's pattern, we all become our own standard. Go back to the Old Testament. In Judges chapter 21, verse 25, it says, in those days there was no king in Israel. Remember, the kings and the princes, they were not just political leaders, but they were also religious leaders of the day. Whichever way they blew as far as God is whichever way the nation blew as far as serving God. But in those days there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. Aren't you thankful that God tells us what to do? That God gives us a pattern to follow? Can you imagine the confusion of a congregation trying to serve God if everybody says, well, I think this is the best way to do this. I believe this is the best way to do that. Be thankful that you have God who has given you a pattern. Be thankful that you have men serving as elders that follow that pattern. And be thankful that you have other Christians that are willing to submit to their leadership and submit to God. Because without it, we'd be in a state of confusion. But the morality would be situational. It would be fluid. Like I said a moment ago, stealing would be okay. Lying, that's okay. If the situation dictates that that's the best way to resolve it, what about adultery? If adultery was the best way to get out of a situation, would that be okay? Murder? It's used today in the world to justify sins. Look at the LGBT community. And I know there's more letters added to the end of it, and they've run out of letters and started putting a plus at the end of it because they want to be inclusive of everybody. Look at adulterous remarriages, drinking, drugs, and the list goes on. And if you ask them, why do you think that's okay? Well, God wants me to be happy. You're using yourself as justification. You're not following the pattern that God has given. And when the world says, I'm going to leave God out of it, they're no different than Judges 21 and 25. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. There are doctrinal patterns for us to follow. Again, we go back to 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2. These things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. What you have learned, Timothy, from me about the Word of God, you take that and you teach others so that they may know what God has in store for them. Later on in Galatians chapter 1, verses 8 and 9, Paul would tell the Galatian brethren there that he marveled that they had so soon turned from what they had been taught. And he placed a curse upon those who would teach something contrary to the Word of God. Remember, he said, even if an angel from heaven comes and teaches something contrary, don't believe him. Don't believe him. Have you ever heard anybody say, well, brother so-and-so says, and he's the preacher over at such and such, and he's preaching something contrary to the Word of God? What's Paul tell us? Don't believe him. Don't believe him. 1 John 4 and verse 1 tells us to try the spirits to see whether their word, their message is from God or not. The doctrine of Christ is undeniable and it is discernible. You can understand what Christ would have you to do. It is the pattern of sound words. And it's given in faith and love. Remember what Paul said in 2 Timothy 1 and verse 13? Hold fast the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me in faith and love. It's always preached in love. You may think that I have a gruff voice. My mama used to fuss at me. Jeff, you just don't know what you sound like. Your children, that's what she was fussing about. I sounded so rough to my children. She said, you don't realize that your voice is as booming as it is. That may be, but I'm passionate about the Word of God. And I want you to have the same passion. I want you to love the Word of God because I'm expressing my love and my faith in the Word of God. Now I know I'm here and others may be here and others may be here and in comparison and all, because we're not the same. And we'll never all be the same in our faith. But I want us all to grow in our faith. And I'm always going to be passionate about the Word of God. God reveals patterns for us today. And when you follow God's patterns, then you become a pattern. You become that example, that type, if you will, for others in the world to see and to follow you. You are a specimen of what a child of God should be. Preachers are a pattern. In 1 Timothy 4 and verse 12, be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. That's what he told the young preacher Timothy. Be an example to the believers in the world. Peter tells elders to be an example in 1 Peter 5 and verse 3, nor as lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. Their main goal as elders is to be examples here at Eastside. But as Christians, who we're going to talk about here next, we're an example to the world. We're a model. Paul would talk to the Thessalonian brethren in 1 Thessalonians 1, beginning in verse 6, and you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction, with the joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you became examples to all in Macedonia and Achaia who believe. You know, the interesting thing is, you may not know who's looking at you. You may not realize who's watching your example. You may not realize. When I worked for Cook's Pest Control in the last few years, one of the big things was, and there were people that were not listening, was that we live in a day and a time where people put cameras up. believe it or not, you can't go anywhere today without Big Brother watching you or a customer watching you. And we used to get complaints at Cook's Pest Control. Well, so-and-so didn't come in my backyard. Well, how do you know? Because he wasn't on the camera coming through the gate. I know. What type of example did that employee set? Not doing the job completely, were they? I've got a camera on my backyard. It didn't do any good when they stole the trailer out of the front yard. But I see people when they are doing services at my house coming through the gate. And I know if they're doing their job or not. I had Dickie trimming the hedges up the other day, and I saw him when he come in. I noticed he was an hour later than what he told me, but that's okay. He got the job done. But what if people are watching you? And they know, they identify you as a Christian, a member at Eastside. And you walk out with beer in your hand from the Quick Mart. You walk out smoking a cigarette. You walk out and you say something ugly. Or they're watching the live stream and they see you, whatever. Be examples, Paul says, to all in Macedonia and Achaia, to those who believe, but also be examples to the people in the world that don't have anybody to follow as an example. You know, people will call us legalists because we follow the Word of God. We insist on the New Testament patterns. We have to insist that God's Word be followed. Because like we said earlier, if we don't follow the pattern that God has given us and we just make up our rules as we go along, then it's too fluid. We're doing whatever is right in our own eyes. And these people that look at us and condemn us for being legalists, they intend to be confined and restricted. They think that we're asking for a thus saith the Lord. Well, in a sense, we are. Because we want God to tell us, yes, you can do that, or no, you cannot do that. And I've had people look at me and I say, well, the Bible don't say you can't do this or you can't do that. We need to be imitators of the patterns that God has given us. Paul says, imitate me as I imitate Christ. Well, the pattern that we have is that we follow the teachings of Jesus. His example was that he put baptism in his life. And he taught baptism as being necessary to follow him. We notice Matthew's account of the Great Commission. Teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. Paul says, hold fast to what you've been taught. Baptism is part of that. Putting Christ on as that example that he set when he died, was buried, and was raised and resurrected. That's the example that we have. It's the archetype of baptism. And we look to Christ as the author and finisher of our salvation, and we follow what he tells us to do. It may be that you put Christ on in baptism already, but something has caused you to stumble in your spiritual path. Christ gives us an example of that. You go to Acts chapter 8, the lesson of Simon the sorcerer who attempted to buy the gift of the Holy Spirit. And he was told to repent. And he did. He asked the apostles there to pray with him, to pray for him. And we can do that this very hour. So if you're here tonight and you find yourself in need of responding to the invitation, I pray that you'll make the decision, make your way to the front while together we stand and while we sing.